right, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good, good. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church, and we're super excited that you're here today hanging out with us and worshiping with us. If this is your first time out, again, thank you for being here. We are honored to have you here with us today. So this is week two of our new message series titled Masquerade. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that we said that masquerade, the definition is pretending to be someone or something that you're not, right? Making a false outward show. Pretty much all of us have them. We wear these masks throughout life that aren't really us whatsoever. And what we're going to do in this series is we're asking God to help us to learn how to drop the mask and to bring the real us to the table. Real us for the first time, maybe even, because you've worn a mask for so long. And last week we talked about how many of us we're honestly not honest with God with where we're at with him. We wear these masks and we pretend one thing, but in reality, we're not honest with where we're at and what we're doing. We kind of gave that number scale, and I appreciate those that came to me or went to other people and shared kind of what number you are from 1 to 10 with God. That took courage, and I appreciate that, and I hope this past week you've taken strides and taken steps to increase that number to get closer to God. But this week we're going to talk about self-deception. So last week, you know, we had a few little masks. I'm pretty stoked to have a new mask today. Ultimate Warrior, baby. So if you don't know the Ultimate Warrior, do yourself a favor and look that sucker up. So we got the Ultimate Warrior hanging out with us today. But as we jump in today, I'm guessing that many of you know people that have maybe told a lie for so long, and they've lived that lie for so long that they actually start to believe that lie, right? I think we've all experienced that. We've seen people do that. Many of us have probably done that ourselves to where kind of we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we lie to ourselves, and then we lie to ourselves, and we lie to ourselves, and then eventually we're like, this is who I am, right? And we've totally lost sight of the real us, and we don't even know who that is anymore because we've lied so much, and we've worn this mask for so long that we've completely lost track of who we are, and we believe that this mask is who we are, right? It's, drop the mask, that's right. It's self-deception. And it's one of those things that it will destroy us. It's imploding us from the inside if we don't deal with it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to wrestle with that. So real quick, I want to do a little experiment. Self-deception. How many of you would say that you struggle, man, they're just falling all over the place, that you struggle with self-deception, that you're deceiving yourself all the time or you're just deceived? How many would say that's a struggle for you? Okay. Now, maybe 3/4 the people. Cool, I appreciate that. Now, let me ask this. How many of you would say that when you think about other people, you know people that, you know, they think that they're really great at this, but they're really not, right? Or they say, you know, they really have a problem with this over here, and you ask them, you talk to them about it, they're like, oh, I don't have a problem. That they are deceiving themselves. How many of you know people like that, right? Okay. Hold those up. Hold them up again and hold them up there. Right. That's pretty much everybody in here, right? So before we had about 3/4, or actually a fourth of the people here stating that, you know, I struggle with that myself. But yet everyone raised their hand and say they know people. So statistically, we kind of have a problem, right? It doesn't measure up. It doesn't line up. And it could be that maybe we're self-deceived. Maybe that you are self-deceived into thinking that it's not an issue for you. So here's a key thought I want you to share, and you're going to have to listen to this one closely and look at it up on the screen. But I want you to think about this and write this down. Those who don't know that they don't know. Right? Kind of a head scratcher. But read it. Look at it. Think about it. Those who don't know that they don't know. It's self-deception. So let me give you an example of that, a personal example, and I'm okay to to tease and make fun of myself because, you know, I'm okay with that because there's a lot of there to do that. So, but I think about when I was in high school, like freshman year, I never really thought too much about it, but that I have this like really like pointy nose, right? It's like kind of slender, kind of comes to a nice little point on the end. I never realized that, you know, because when I look at myself in a mirror, face on, my nose looks normal, right? I mean, it's what I've grown up seeing. It's what I know. Never thought anything different. It's just a normal nose. But my freshman year of high school, me and my friends were kind of joking on each other and just goofing off, having a good time or whatever. And one of them threw out to me, like, "What's up, Toucan Sam?" And I'm like, exactly. We all kind of laughed. You know, Toucan Sam, Fruit Loops, you know, follow your nose. You know, yeah. So they threw that out, and we all kind of laughed, and I'd laughed and chuckled, and I'm like, I don't really get it, you know, but whatever, it's funny, ha, ha, ha. So I was thinking about it, like, all day. So when I get home, we had this, like, little decorative mirror on our wall in the bathroom. I pulled that off the wall, went into the bathroom, looked at the mirror, you know, you kind of turn this angle and held that mirror so you can see the side. I'm like, huh, Toucan Sam it is. All right, there it is. But I never realized it because I never saw myself really from the side. It's always kind of straight on. But other people can see me from this angle. So they can see something that I can't see. So I was self-deceived into thinking that my nose was pretty normal. Not little Toucan Sam. So if you call me Toucan Sam, I might cry later. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the reality of the fact that we wear these masks for so long. And we lie to ourselves so much that we begin to believe that is truth. We begin to believe that that's who we are. And it's a silly example, but that's what we do, right? So what I want to do is I'm going to give you two quick thoughts about self-deceit, and then I want to share with you some practical applications, some three things that we can do. But let's check out these first two things off the bat about self-deceit. And the first thing is that we need to understand that the longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. Let me say that again. The longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. See, when we wear this mask and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we stare at it and we see it and we're looking at ourselves through that distorted lens over and over and over again, we eventually just believe that to be truth. We believe that to be who we are. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about us, who we are. And we see this in Psalms chapter 36, verses 2 and 3. And we see that David was talking about some wicked people who were truly self-deceived. And he says this. It says, in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. See, they're flattering themselves so much to the extent that they don't even see their own sin. They don't even see their own need. They don't see the fact that they have problems and they have issues because they're constantly flattering themselves, right? And you know, it's that whole premise of, you know, I'm not bad. I'm good. I'm a good dude, right? I'm not bad. Or, you know, I don't really have a struggle with here and there. I'm good. I got this all taken care of. You know, we constantly say that or we wear that mask. And we do this all the time. We do it over and over again where other people see these problems in our lives and we just push it off to the side so much so that we don't think that we have an issue. See, we flatter ourselves. We build ourselves up. We tell ourselves we don't have an issue or that this isn't wrong or that I'm okay here or my marriage is okay here or whatever. And we constantly tell ourselves that until eventually we just believe it. And then it begins to become destructive in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us. See, we may have a significant issue going on that we just don't even see because we've worn that mask for so long. In verse 3, it continues, it said, "The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful, and they fail to act wisely or do good." See, when you can't even see and detect the fact that you have sin in your life or you have issues in your life or you have these things going on, if you can't even see that because you're constantly flattering yourself, it begins to come out in your actions, right? And you cannot act wise. You can't do good things. It distorts the way you live life. Not only just how you see yourself, but how you live life. Now, all of us know, I think, people with self-deception issues, right? And a lot of times it's pretty harmless.
You know, and I think we see that a lot of times in our day-to-day life, or especially on TV or whatever. When I think about kind of like harmless self-deception, I think about shows like American Idol or So You Think You Can Dance, like those reality shows, right? The show's premise is we get these people that are great singers or great dancers, put them on a show, we vote for them every week, someone ends up winning the end, right? That's the show. But probably 50% or probably higher, the people only tune in for those first 2 or 3 weeks to watch the auditions, right? And on those auditions, you see people that think that they like have the most incredible voice ever, or they got dance skills like you wouldn't believe. And so they get up on the stage with all the confidence in the world, and they just let it rip. And it's terrible, right? It is absolutely terrible. And when they don't make it on the show, like, they are genuinely in disbelief. Like, they don't understand it. Like, it doesn't comprehend, because they really believe that they're good. Right? They've deceived themselves to thinking that they've got skills in areas that they really don't. Right? And that's kind of harmless, but it's an example of what, honestly, we do all the time. But when it comes to sin, when it comes to the things that we do wrong or we screw up, or the issues that we have going on in our life, it can destroy us and destroy the people around us if we're self-deceived. Because if we can't see that it's an issue, we can't do anything about it. And we just move on through life. You know, some of you could be, you know, that people are telling you that, man, you've got a pride issue, right? They're like, man, you kind of got that pride issue. And you're like, no, I don't, man. I'm not proud. Honestly, I'm just better than everybody in that. God's blessed me in that arena. I'm not proud. I'm just better than you, right? It's like, no, bro, that's pride right there. You know, or it's, you know, you kind of gossip quite a bit. And it's really starting to bug me. And you're like, well, I don't gossip. You know, people just naturally come and talk to me because they just feel comfortable doing that. And the only reason I'm telling you how messed up their life is because I want you to pray for them. But you wouldn't believe what they did last week too, so you need to pray for that too. But I'm not a gossip, right? We're self-deceived, self-deception. We flatter ourselves so much into believing a lie. Because the longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. The second thought on self-deceit that I want to share with you is that often, and not always, but often, the more convinced you are you're right, the more likely you are wrong. Right? The more convinced you are, the more adamant or defensive, and you well up and you get, you know, defensive in that area, you know, of something that you say that you're right in, a lot of times it's because you're wrong. You know it deep down. You're trying to convince yourself along with everybody else. Right? It's that mask that we throw up. And I think a couple great examples of that in the New Testament, one is the Pharisees, right? I mean, they thought they were it. I mean, they thought they had all the answers. You know, they knew the law frontwards and backs. You know, they dotted every I, they crossed every T. I mean, they had it down. But Jesus was like, no, guys, you're wrong. Like, you know the law. That's great. But truthfully, you don't know the one who created the law. That's God. And he tried to show them that. But see, they flattered themselves so much, and they were so adamant and defensive that they were right, they never opened themselves up to hearing the truth. Another example is my boy Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And on the night that Jesus was going to be taken captive and to be crucified, and he was telling them that, I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to do that. And Peter, you know, he's like, no, man, that's not going to happen. I got your back, right? I'm with you. To the end. And we see that in Matthew 26, verse 33. It says, Peter replied, even if all others fall away on the account of you, I never will. And then Jesus said in verse 34, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And then, of course, Peter's like, no way, Jesus, not happening. He said, you know, I declare, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. So he's getting all dramatic and he's getting all like, I will die with you before I ever disown you. He was adamant. He was defensive. No, Jesus, you're wrong. I will be here. I got your back to the end. And as we read on, sure enough, good old Peter denies Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows because he was self-deceived. He wouldn't open himself up to hear truth because he was wearing that mask. He was welling up. So how do we see that in our lives? How do we see that in day-to-day? And a lot of times, I think one of the, the biggest ones we see is that, you know, maybe you know someone that really has a problem with alcohol, and you're like, hey, I really think that you're really struggling with this. Or, man, you're really taking a lot of pain pills, and you're really, I think you've got a problem. 9 times out of 10, man, they blow up. You know, no, I don't. Mind your own business. I'm good. You don't know me. They start to well up and they blow up. Or maybe it's something a little more simple, but still maybe a little destructive. And you're like, you know what, man, you're kind of addicted to Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, you're binge watching these series like crazy. And I think you got a problem. And you're like, no, man, you don't understand. This is just how I unwind, man. This is how I de-stress and I disconnect. But really what I need you to do right now is to get out of my way. You see up there, like, the next show, next episode starting in 10 seconds. You see it, that countdown? So, woo, out of my way. Don't talk to me no more, right? We can't see it. Or maybe it's that, you know, it's like, man, I think you're really struggling because you are just trying to control everything in everybody's life. You're kind of like this control freak. And they're like, no, man, I'm not a control freak. Everyone else just does things wrong. I mean, if people would just do it my way, then everything would be a lot more simple. But I'm not a control freak. And honestly, man, I don't even like the way you're coming at me right now. Now, if you would have come at me like this, it would be better, right? Because we're self-deceived. We are a control freak, or we are addicted to Netflix, or we are these things. But we can't see it. We can't because we have a distorted lens, because we're wearing a mask, because we've lied so much and used those excuses so much that we slowly start to believe our own lies. We believe that person wearing that mask is who we are, and we've lost sight of that. Again, Psalms 36:2, in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or even hate their sin. They flattered themselves, and they just can't see it. They can't even detect it. And if you don't know that you have an issue, how can you fix it, right? If you don't know that you're in need, how can you seek out help? Because we're wearing a mask, and those masks have to come down. Now, to be honest, this is honestly a pretty difficult message, because when you really think about it, you know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people who are deceived but don't even know they're deceived, right? They don't even know that they have a problem, and I'm trying to help do that. You know, so I think the only way that this can actually be beneficial or to help is to really expose biblically what we need to do in order to actually hear truth, to be able to listen to the truth and be transformed by the truth. I think that's the only way for us to actually break free of these lies that we see in ourselves, these masks, and overcome that. So what I want to do is I want to challenge you, and I want you to think about yourself here. I mean, I think it's easy to sit here in this message and the rest of the time and think, man, I really hope my spouse is listening to this, because, man, they need it, right? I mean, they are deceived, you know. They're a control freak for sure, you know, or they're a nag for sure, and I hope they can see that. I've been trying to tell them for years, and they don't listen. You know, or else it's, you know, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. But what I want to challenge you to do is I want you to think specifically about you and what God wants you to hear. Because maybe, and this isn't a guilt trip, I'm not trying to make people doubt and freak out, but maybe you're actually deceived on some things. Maybe you're wearing a mask on some things and you just don't even realize it. And I want to help you walk through that, because that's been me many, many times in my life. And these things have been helpful. So I want to give you three biblical truths that honestly will help guide you on this journey as you identify and start to overcome your self-deception. So the first thing that I want to encourage you to do is I want you to pray, okay? And I know that sounds very cliche and simple in a church. You know, the pastor is telling me to pray, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I really want you to do that. And I want you to ask God if there's anything in you that you're being deceived about, that you have that self-deception about. Like, very directly ask God those things. And we see that actually David did this in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. And he boldly prayed a prayer to God. He said this. He said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." He just straight went to God and said, "God, show me. Like, I can't see it. If it's there, I don't know it's there. So please show me this. I need you to reveal this to me, because I can't see right now." right? I'm blinded to those things. Maybe it's, I don't know what the situation was. Maybe it was flattery. Maybe he was wearing the mask. Who knows? But he's saying, search me. Reveal that to me. And I want to challenge you to do that this week. Start today. And ask God to reveal if there's anything in your life that you're not seeing, that you're self-deceived about. It could be at the core that, you know, you're self-deceived that you don't think you even need Christ. And you've never accepted him because of that, because you're just self-deceived and you've lied so long that you're good and you don't need him. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But I want you to pray that scripture this week and see as God reveals those things to you. I mean, honestly, for me, I've had to do this over and over and over and pray this prayer over in my life. You know, from growing up in a very conservative, legalistic, religious, you know, environment where you sneezed, you were wrong, and you were going to burn in hell or something like that, to trying to navigate those waters to find truth, you know, and sometimes I'd swing the pendulum way far the other way, or then I'd swing it back this way. And I had to ask God, you know, constantly, like, reveal to me what's truth. Reveal to me where I'm wrong. If I think this is right now, maybe I'm self-deceived. Maybe this isn't okay. But reveal that to me. I'm asking you to do that. Pray and ask God to reveal those things. Because so many times we're so self-deceived, we don't even see it. And as you pray that, I promise you that God will lovingly show you the truth. And he'll walk point for you, and you'll be able to see those things. So I encourage you to pray and seek God in those areas. Ask him to reveal those things to you. The second thing, once you do that, I want to encourage you to listen, right? And not just to listen to God, which I want you to do. I encourage you, I plead with you to listen to God, but also listen to the people that God is going to speak through, that are in your life, that he has placed in your life. Listen to God, but listen to the voices of other people that love you, those positive voices, those people that are following and seeking after Christ, that are telling you something. You need to listen to them as well. Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. And I love that. I've learned to love that phrase, a life-giving rebuke. Life-giving. See, there's people in your life that maybe not don't know you well at all, or know you, period, that want to come at you and start rebuking your life, right? Like, they're just kind of all up in your business for no reason, and they're kind of being jerks, right? But they're rebuking you. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the people who love you, the people that do life with you, that are around you. Maybe it's people within the church or your community group or your family, but people that love you, and they're giving you a life-giving rebuke. In fact, maybe you need to be giving that to somebody else in your life. Maybe you need to love someone so much that you give that life-giving rebuke. So let's talk about what that actually means. And what it is, again, there may be people here in the church or in your community groups that maybe they're heading in a bad direction, right? That they're going somewhere that you know is leading to destruction. Maybe it's in their marriage or just in their finances or in their life, whatever. And you actually do life with these people. Like, they love you, you love them. They are a part of your life. Life-giving rebuke means that you kind of lovingly get in their face and be like, hey, don't do this. Like, you are going down a bad road, and it's not going to be good. Not judgment, not hateful. It's life-giving rebuke. It's loving somebody. Some of you know people like that right now. And see, a lot of times in the church, what we'll do is we'll sit back, right, and we'll watch it happen. And then we'll say, we need to gather and pray for them. But that's all we do, right? And I want you to pray for them. If you know people that are going through some things, I want you to pray for them. But I also want you to go get in between them and say, hey, and get in their face lovingly, not like in a bullying way, but just say, hey, I'm here for you. What's going on? This is what I see. And I love you. I'm telling you this because I love you. And I don't want you to go down that road. I've seen it, or I've been there, or whatever the case may be. But you give them a life-giving rebuke. Some of you need to give that to somebody today. Some of you, and it's all of us at some point in time, trust me, we need to receive a life-giving rebuke. we need to do that. When the scripture continues on in verse 32, it says, "He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever hears or heeds correction gains understanding." Man, there's wisdom in receiving that life-giving rebuke. We have to be able to tell people those things. We have to be able to receive those things. And man, I've received my share of life-giving rebukes in my life. Trust me. Jen has given me plenty of those in the 11 years of our marriage. We started dating when we were in high school, so she's seen me kind of go through a lot of different phases and a lot of journey, and she's given them to me plenty of times. And it's not because she's mad at me, it's because she loves me, and she wants me to improve, and she wants me to be better, and she wants me to avoid things that could come up in my life that will be destructive, not just to me, but to our family, right? One of the things I think about is I used to run a men's flag football league at a church I was at, and some of you all know, some of you don't, I am super competitive, like incredibly competitive. See, my dad chuckles, and I don't even look at him, but super competitive. You know, one of my biggest issues throughout my life, I remember being in like elementary school, like trash talking and yelling at, you know, referees and getting technicals. It was a mess. But I've gotten plenty of life-giving rebukes from my family on the way home from games saying, "Hey, you're going to sit the bench if you do that again," you know? Or in that men's flag football league, Amelia was a toddler and they were out watching a game. And I mean, I was the president of the league. I employed the officials and I'm trash talking to everybody. I'm in the officials' face. I'm about to get tossed out of the game in church league that I run, right? Seriously. And Jen on the way home was like, "If you ever do anything like that again, Amelia will never come watch you do anything because that's not what I want her to learn." I was like, ugh, that's harsh, right? But you know what? I needed to hear that. Because I was acting an idiot. I was like Craig out there playing kickball. You know what I mean? If you've never seen that, it's a treat. But it was a life-giving rebuke that I needed. And I've had that in so many other areas in my life. And I needed to receive those things to become a better person. Because I was self-deceived. You know, I would tell people, well, it's just competitive. You know, just in the game. It's all good. But those people out watching, man, I look like an idiot. Terrible example for people, for kids, for my own kids. I needed to hear those things. But here's the deal. If more than one person in your life is telling you that love you, if more than one person in your life that loves you is telling you that you have a problem, guess what? You got a problem. It's the truth. If more than one person is telling you that, you need to listen. So ladies, maybe it's that you're dating a guy and everyone's telling you that, you know, he's a jerk, right? He's an idiot. He's no good for you. And everyone, your parents, you know, your friends, your coworkers, everyone in your life is telling you that. But you're like, no, he's not. Yeah, he cheated on me a few times. And yeah, he yells at me all the time, whatever. But you just don't know him like I know him. No, he's a jerk. Everyone is telling you that. And you need to listen because they love you. And they don't want to see you go down that road. Some of you, maybe it's that, like me, you have like a temper problem, or maybe you get explosive and you get dangerous, or whatever it may be. And someone's telling you, you know, man, you're treating your family and your friends like garbage, dude, because your attitude is out of control. You need to receive that. You need to listen, because that's life-giving rebuke that you need to hear. Maybe it's just that you're overspending and you're living like, no, you're a millionaire and, you know, your checking account's like $12 at the end of every month. But you're just going crazy. And people are telling you, man, you need to slow down because this is going to end really bad. And you're like, nah, man, I'm good. I got this under control. But everyone is telling you that. You need to listen. Because if there's more than one person in your life that's telling you, that love you, that are telling you that you got a problem, you got a problem. So I want you to think about what is God trying to show you? Or what are other people in your life that love you, what are they trying to show you right now? Maybe you can't see it. Maybe everything that they're saying or that you're hearing, it doesn't make sense to you because you got that mask. You're believing that lie and you can't see it. Take some time and evaluate that. Listen to that life-giving rebuke from the people that love you. Now, if there's people that don't care about you and they're saying things, hateful things to you or whatever, trying to tear you down, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that love you, that invest in you, that do life with you. If they're saying those things, man, you need to listen. I want to encourage you to pray and to listen. Now, some of you, you're going to think about it, man, it's going to click, and you're like, I know exactly what it is because you've been hearing it, and God's been speaking to you, or other people have been telling you over and over recently, and you're like, you know what, that's what it is, and you're going to be able to take care of that today. But others of you, maybe it's a little more difficult. Maybe it's a little more of a process, and I really encourage you to take those steps to pray, to ask God, to say, search me, God. If there's anything in me that maybe I'm just not aware of, I want you to show that to me. And then I want you to listen as God reveals that to you, or as other people in your life are sharing those truths with you, that life-giving rebuke. You've got to listen. And the third and final thing that you have to do to actually complete this whole process is when God shows it to you, change. Right? When God reveals that to you, you have to take action and you have to change. But see, it's tough because we've lived so long wearing this mask, telling these lies, living these lies, that it's tough. We don't know where to start because that's who we see. That's who we think we are. And when we think about it, it's intimidating, man, because like, if that's not it, then I don't even know who I am because I've been doing this for so long. But when God reveals it to you, you have to change. And again, the good news is some of you will be able to do that today. You'll hear it, you'll see it, or you already know it right now, and you'll be able to take those steps and those actions to change. But again, some of you, it's going to be a longer process, and that's okay. Most of us, honestly, it's a longer process. But maybe it's that you've been actually living that lie, wearing that mask for so long that there's lie and mask after mask, after mask, after lie, and you are just consumed and covered with it. Then maybe it's pretty deep-rooted. Maybe you need to go get some professional counseling, or maybe it's an addiction that is hitting you, and you realize that today, and maybe it's that you need to go hit some rehab for whatever it is. You have to be honest with yourself to be able to make that change. Maybe it's that you need to join a community group here at LifePoint so that you can surround yourself with people who are going to speak life into you and they're going to help you in that process. Because when you try to do it yourself, you know, it's always like three steps forward, two steps back, and it's just a struggle, and you're up and you're down. But you need to surround yourself with some people that are going to pray for you, and they're going to encourage you, and they're going to speak life into you. But even if it's a process for you, you can start that process today to start to change, because it's that important. It's that important to drop that mask. And here's the key. Scripture says this, and I don't think anybody says it better than James in James chapter 1, verse 22. And I love this verse, and it's super convicting. It says this. It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Self-deceit. Right? We listen to the word. Maybe some of you have been in church for a long time. You know the truth. You know God's word, but you just live opposite. Right? And maybe it's not even an intentional thing. It's because you've got a mask and you're just not aware because you've been flattering yourself so long. You don't even see your sin. You don't even know the truth. It says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Do what it says. And this is tough. Man, this is where things get kind of heavy, right? I mean, because again, some of you, God's gonna speak to you today, and he's gonna reveal some truth. And some of you already know the truth, right? You know God's word, and you know the truth, and you know what you should be doing, but you're just not. And I don't know what that is for you. And it's not my place to come at you, and that only God knows that. And we want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you in that. Because I'm guilty of that myself, and I have to do this over and over myself to make sure that I'm aware of what's going on in my own life so that I'm not throwing up masks and leading to destruction. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're a Christian and you're dating somebody and you're sleeping with your boyfriend and girlfriend all the time. I mean, that's something that probably don't hear me talk about much, but you know what? And you're like, you know what? It's all good. It's all good because we're going to get married one day. No, it's not. That's contrary to Scripture. And I don't say that to judge you. I say that to love you. And you need to take action. You need to drop the mask and quit saying that it's okay when in reality you know it's not. You've got to drop the mask and change. Maybe it's that you know, we did a whole series about it, but maybe people are telling you that, and your family's telling you that you're addicted to your phone, right? That you're having that love affair with Facebook and you're tweeting from the toilet, which is nasty. Hope you disinfect that sucker. But it's affecting your life in a negative way, right? And you're not having face-to-face, physical, genuine relationships with the people who love you in your life because of a stupid phone. Drop the mask. Own it. Accept it. I'm telling you, when I preach a series, I'm preaching it because it's a struggle for me. And that cell phone thing is a struggle for me. I'm about 4 days sober from Facebook. I've deleted it off my phone for the month. And it's been tough. But I realize that. And I'm taking steps. I'm taking action on that. But you got to take off the mask. I don't know. Maybe it's that you're wearing the happy marriage mask, right? And you wear the happy marriage all the time. And you've worn that happy marriage mask so long that you're like, no, our marriage is good. Like, you've convinced yourself. But if you're able to step back and look at it, or everyone around you is looking at it, it's like, no, it's pretty terrible. And you're miserable. But you begin to believe that lie because you've lied so much and you've worn that mask so much. It's time to listen and just take action. Do the things to build that marriage. But you can't work on something that you don't know is an issue, right? So you have to take steps of recognizing it, remove the mask, and change. Or maybe it's that someone here this morning, maybe this is pretty heavy, but this is a reality in our culture today. Maybe someone's cutting on themselves. And they say, you know what, that's what I do to de-stress. That's what I do. And it's okay, because I've got it under control. No, it's really not. And I love you enough to say that it's not, because you're hurting yourself, and that's not healthy. And you need to get some help. And it's okay. But it's time to take the mask off. Step forward to change, right? Maybe it's the infamous religious mask, right? I've worn that so many times in my life that I can say the right things, I can do the right things, and in reality, your relationship with God is non-existent. But outwardly, you got that mask, and you wear it so much, and you become so good at it, you really don't even have a clue that you're wearing it until one day it hits you, and it's like, man, that's not a relationship at all. It's a mask. You've got to take the steps to change. But why are we so afraid to drop the mask? Why don't we do it? It's exhausting to keep up with it. But it's because a lot of times we're afraid of the truth. We're afraid to know the truth or to accept or embrace this is really what's going on in my life, or this is really where I'm at, or this is really who I am at this moment. And we're afraid of the truth, which is kind of ironic because in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says this. He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're afraid of something that will set us free. And the ultimate truth, I want you to hear this, the ultimate truth is a person, and it's Jesus. That's it. That's the truth. So regardless of what the truth is for you, when you take away the ultimate warrior mask, bam, and it's gone, and we drop it, and we get rid of it, and here's the true, real us, it's okay, even if it's a disaster, because Jesus is the real truth, and he can set you free. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But see, we're afraid to do that right there, because our spiritual enemy is the father of all lies, right? And he's good. And he wants you to hide behind and live in that lie for as long as possible, so that hopefully that lie just becomes your reality. and you live behind that mask for the rest of your life, and you are sidelined, and you are no benefit to the kingdom. You're no benefit to yourself. You're no benefit to people in your life, and you're just a waste. And that's harsh, and that's heavy, but that's the truth. And that's what he wants for your life. But Jesus says, hey, I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I rose again for you to set you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Embrace Jesus today. Pray. Ask God to reveal anything to you that you need to hear. Listen to him and listen to the people in your life that love you, to that life-giving rebuke, and then ultimately change. Embrace Jesus, because the truth, I promise you, that truth will set you free. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truth and for who you are, Lord, and the fact that you give us these words, God, and you give us this reality that the truth will set us free, and that you are, in fact, the truth. And because of that, God, we don't have to hide. We don't have to wear masks. It doesn't matter how ugly it is. It doesn't matter how far we've run or what terrible things we've done in our life. That's irrelevant when it comes to you, because you are enough. And you give us that, God. And you say, come to me. I'll take your burden. I'll take your mess. I'll take your shame. God, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the fact that we don't have to wear a mask. And God, that you can reveal those areas that we're blind so that we can move forward. Maybe you're here today as we continue in prayer, and man, that mask you're wearing and that self-deceit you have is, like I said earlier, is just the fact that you don't believe that you need Christ, that you're good. I'm a good person. Surely I'll be all right. I do good things. And you've told yourself that over and over and over again, and you don't realize your need for Jesus because of that. See, if you don't know you're lost, you're not going to be found. So I challenge you today, if that's you today, I want you to just talk to God. When you're trying to see truth and you're seeking truth, know that it's him. He died on the cross, rose again for you, so that you don't have to wear a mask, so you don't have to hide. And if that's you today, and you're ready to step over that line of faith, and you're hearing from God, and you feel like, you know what, maybe I need a Savior. Maybe I've been so self-deceived for my whole life that I didn't think I need it, but honestly, I really do. Because I've tried to do everything on my own, and it doesn't work. And I'm still in the same place, and I'm still miserable, and life is still terrible. And if that's you, and you're ready to step over that line of faith, just call out to God. Just in the way that he leads. Again, it's not a magic prayer. It's your heart. It's you coming to him saying, you know what? I'm in need. I'm in need of a Savior. And Jesus, you are it. The one and only. And if that's you today, just call out to him however he leads and say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross, rose again for me so that I could be forgiven, and that I could have truth, and I could be set free. God, set me free today from these masks and everything that else that's in my life, God, that's just not important, that's lies, Lord. Set me free, God, and save me today. Believe that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect and that I need you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. It's your name we pray. Amen. With our heads still bowed, if that was your prayer, I promise you, greatest decision you've ever made in your life. You can remove that mask. You can throw it away. You don't need it anymore. Because God said that we can come to him just as we are. And that's like seriously, just as you are. Not how the church says, come just as you are. But no, seriously, regardless, the good, bad, and the ugly, no masks, come to him. And if you made that decision today, I promise the greatest decision you've ever made. And we ask that you would just mark that on your connection card. That does nothing other than just let us know that you made that decision, because we want to come alongside you and just walk point for you and walk with you and help you on this new journey with Christ. or you can just come talk to me, or you can pass off the connection card, however, whatever you're comfortable with. But we want to celebrate with you, and we want to be able to help you on this new journey. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you've already accepted Christ, and you're a Christ follower, and man, you're still wearing mask after mask after mask, and you are so self-deceived that life is just crumbling around you. And maybe you don't even realize it. Or maybe God's revealed that to you this morning and you do realize that now. Whatever the situation is, I encourage you and pray. Ask God to reveal those things to you boldly. And when he reveals it through himself or through other people, listen and then change. Because I'm telling you, wearing these masks is exhausting. I know from experience. And being set free in the truth is truly the most freeing thing that's ever happened to me. To not have to live behind a mask and a bunch of lies. And you know what? I'm going to live that way again at some point in time, because I'm going to struggle, because I'm flawed. And I'm going to throw up a mask, and I'm going to start believing a lie, and I'm going to ask God to remove that from me every single time, and I'm going to constantly stay aware of that, and I encourage you to do the same. Because God offers peace and joy and forgiveness. And why in the world wouldn't we want that? Other than our own blindness, our own selfishness, and sometimes we're just not even aware because we believe that lie. I encourage you today to just speak to God and hear his truth and then take action. Be set free today. God, we thank you again for your truth. God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, continue to work in the lives of everyone here. God, work in the lives of LifePoint, the people here, God, so that we can go and be the church and speak truth, God, and share your gospel with everyone that we see, Father, and we be a living example of you. God, I pray for everyone in here, God, that they would realize that they don't have to live with a mask. God, I pray that you would reveal lies and masks that they're wearing that they don't even realize, God, where they're self-deceived. And God, I pray that you would reveal that to them today, and that they would receive it, and they would begin to take action. God, I pray the same for myself. And we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.